Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the fire.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to this week's Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author. Businesses work with me because I can help them leverage their business with speaking and communication. And typically, I mentor introverts, authors, and advocates to have the confidence to share their message. If you're calling in from North America, call in on 646-716-7979, and you can follow the links, call in, ask your questions during the show. If you're outside North America, you can go to tobtr.com/9755003, follow the links to leave your questions. And of course, as always, you can message me on Facebook, leave your question, and I will pass them over to our guest for today. And it's my great pleasure to have on the show as my guest the International President of Toastmasters International, Mike Storkey, Distinguished Toastmaster. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Trish. It's great to be here.
Absolutely delighted to have you, and I'm looking forward to speaking with you shortly. We're going to be talking about Mike's journey from a business entrepreneur in Queensland to being international president of a global organization. So we'll be coming back to see all those stories that he has and sharing how he's got where he has. So firstly, we're going to do, as usual, my frequently asked question. And today's question is, what's the biggest mistake new speakers make? And the biggest one that I see when new speakers start to speak is they look around and they see great speakers. They see them on TED Talks or they see them live and they look at them and they think, oh, wow, I want to be just like them. And so they want to copy exactly what they do. The problem is that what works for them, for the great speakers that they're trying to copy, may not work for you as a new speaker. Each and every one of us has unique talents, and we all have skills that we bring to speaking. And what you need to do as a starting out when you're speaking is to be yourself and to be natural. You find what works for you, what it is that you've got that you can bring to the speaking journey, and then you need to polish it. And we then just add some techniques and strategies. And all my 20 years of speaking, and I talk a lot to my audiences and to fellow speakers, and a question that I will be asking, I ask everybody on my radio show, that the top question is, what is a good speaker for you? And they all say being natural and being yourself. So if you try to copy something from someone else, then you may be stepping away from being yourself. Now, for example, one of the speakers that you most admire could be really great at humour. They could be one of the best people that can absolutely entertain everybody humour. But for you, if you tried to do that, that may not work because you may not be the best person at doing humour. I mean, for example, that's me. I can do humour occasionally, but if I try and put humour into my speeches, it flops terribly. So you need to find what works for you. Other speakers can be really great at crafting beautiful words, or they might be great at moving around on the stage, or they might have an innate talent of a lot of charisma. And if that's not you, and you try and use that in your speeches, it's going to come across false, and your audience will not connect with you. So my tip for you as new speakers is be yourself. Find what works for you, polish it, and then, of course, you can add some techniques and strategies that will just take you a bit further. but be yourself. Don't try to be anybody else. Let your passion, let your message shine through, and that will work for you. As always, I share tips, techniques, and strategies each show. So if there is something you would like to be answered, a question or burning question or something about how to leverage your business of speaking and communication or how to become a speaker, email me on info@trishel.com.au and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Of course, you can put it in the comments on my Facebook page or you can PM me. Either way, and I'll be delighted to answer your question on the next show. Now, it's my pleasure, absolute pleasure, to introduce our guest today. Our guest is Mike Storkey, and as I said, he's the current international president of Toastmasters International, and that's a global educational organization. Mike is a business trainer and a coach at Storkey's Team. It's a business he co-founded in 2005. He assists small businesses in the development of strategic business plans and trains members of local government bodies throughout the Queensland area. He also hosts seminars in change management, time management, team building and leadership, particularly for small businesses, regional councils and other organisations. He has been engaged as a keynote speaker for various organisations and national conferences. And he also works when in his spare time, when he's not being international president and not being a small business trainer, he is also in real estate and he's a licensed real estate agent. Additionally, Mike has been the former founding president of the Whitsunday Chamber of Commerce, and he garnered recognition as a Paul Harris Fellow for his service to the Rotary Club of Airlie Beach. Now, Mike assumed the one-year term of international president last year at the Toastmasters International 85th Annual Convention held in August in Washington, D.C. So, Mike, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Trish.
Absolutely delighted. And so how does someone from Queensland end up as international president of a massive global organisation? What started you?
Well, in fact, Leslie and I, my wife, joined Toastmasters simply to do something socially together because we were in a very small holiday community on the north coast of Queensland opposite the Barrier Reef, where during the day you could go sailing, fishing, swimming, but at night time there was very little to do. So we joined Toastmasters to do something socially together. And it all grew from there.
And that's amazing what you can grow from small seeds. And I guess we, because I'm in Toastmasters myself, we often assume that everybody knows what Toastmasters is all about. So I think my first question probably should be to you, what is Toastmasters? Just for those listeners who may not be aware.
Well, it's a very good question, and some people say Toastmasters is the best kept secret, but in fact it is a communication and leadership organisation dedicated to the personal development of individuals, and it's a worldwide organisation, and it's growing very quickly.
So how many members or clubs would there be around the world at the moment?
Well, we're in 146 countries around the world and we've got 350,000 members.
Now, that is not a small organisation. That is a big one. And it's how long has Toastmasters been going for?
It's in its 94th year.
And who was the founder of it? Where did it start?
It started in California, actually in a YMCA club in California, and it was started by Dr. Ralph Smedley, who discovered a need amongst young people, particularly in those days, businessmen, who had trouble expressing themselves and getting on in the business world.
And from a small idea like that, we've now got a global organisation. And I think that's something that people can think about when they're starting their businesses or when they've got this little idea. just start it, because you never know where it went and how it can grow. And I'm sure Dr. Ralph Smedley, when he started his helping for the young people, really would never have thought about where Toastmasters has gone to now.
It's funny you should say that, Trish, because quite often we ask ourselves on the board, I wonder if he would approve, and would he know or ever thought that the organisation would grow to what it has?
It'd be lovely to bring him back, wouldn't it? So we could just ask him that question. It'll be interesting to see what his answer would be.
Yeah, I hope it's a positive answer. Knowing him, I'm sure it would have been.
Look, knowing the work and what Toastmasters done, I'm sure it's fulfilling that his basic idea and just taking it as technology grows. So what does an international president do, Mike?
Well, as president, I'm the chairman of the board. And as chairman of the board's duty is obviously a fiduciary one, to make sure that we look after the financial aspects of the business, but we're also charged with the strategic direction that the organisation takes. Other than that, I am an ambassador for the organisation. I travel quite extensively during my term, and the idea is to promote Toastmasters wherever possible and to encourage people in the organisation that I meet to take on further leadership challenges. I mean, one of the big things, as you were talking about, Trish, is that no one should pass up an opportunity when it presents itself.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things I think is great about Toastmasters, because it does encourage people to step up and take those opportunities. And it is a communication and leadership organisation, so it does give that great office opportunity for people to do that. I know we just talked a little bit before about how you got into Toastmasters and it was something that you and Leslie, your wife, could do. But what was it that really, I guess, what was it that sort of triggered the urge to say, well, I want to become international president? Because it's not a you know, easy journey. There's a long process into getting to that. So what was it that gave you that thought? I mean, did you wake up one day and say, I'll just be international president? Or was it something that slowly grew?
Well, actually, Trish, it was something that grew very slowly. I was very fortunate that I had a very good mentor, or a couple of good mentors, who pushed me to step out of the zone and to go into competitions, but also to take leadership challenges within the club. And once I did that, I found that I enjoyed doing that. I found that the skills I was learning as a Toastmaster in my club were skills that I could use in my business and in my community life. And as you get more proficient and get more enjoyment, you seek challenges. And it was just the growth of challenges and then the opportunity to fulfill them that finally led me to running for the position of international president.
And that's probably one of the benefits of Toastmasters, because it allows you to do that. Anybody can take their challenges, can take what they've learnt and go further. There's an opportunity for everybody. What was the process involved in becoming international president?
Well, it goes over a number of years. First, you join a club, and then you take on a couple of club leadership roles. You might become the vice president of education, responsible for the program in the club. Then you become a club president. Then you go through some area directors who look after a group of four or five clubs. Then you can become a division director and you look after a group of it. Then you become a district officer, which is there's three in Toastmasters in each district with three areas of responsibility, each one leading to the next area. And then you become the district director, a position that you have held very successfully, Trish. From there, it's a quantum leap out of your district into a worldwide network. And you go from that into being an international director. and then from international director, if you choose to, you can run for second vice president, first vice president, president-elect, and then international president. So it's a long-term commitment once you've decided to make it. But I don't think anybody joins Toastmasters to become the international president. That happens along the way.
Absolutely, I have to agree with you. I think we all join Toastmasters for a variety of reasons, but the value of it is that it suddenly opens up those opportunities that you can step forward and grab, which is what you have done. As you develop, you look to see where there's more areas to go. One of the things I also wanted to ask you about, what do you think about communication? How important is it today in life?
Well, I think it's becoming even more important today. I mean, if you've only got to look at what goes on as far as our political leaders, the lack of leadership in some businesses, and the disharmony within the community where people don't really communicate one-on-one. I mean, so many of us in this modern age have our heads buried in iPhones or mobile phones. We communicate by email. And yet, if you really want to understand a person, get to know them and communicate properly with them, there's nothing that beats face-to-face communication. And that's where I think the huge need is today. All the other means are tools to help you communicate, but they're not communication themselves. Communication needs someone who speaks and someone who listens. And listening is a huge part of communication. You don't listen to emails, and most people are in such a hurry to get their message across on a phone that they don't really hear what the other person is saying anyway. So communications is everything. It's what makes us different from all the other species on the planet.
I think the thing out of that, and there's some really great wise words, is listening, because people don't really think about listening as being part of speaking and communication, and it's probably the one that we do less, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's the old saying, we have one mouth and two ears, and we should communicate accordingly. So maybe we should speak half as much as we listen.
I think so. I think that would be good. So what do you think we could do to be able to foster better communication? Have you got some ideas on how we could sort of get people off the phones or foster the communication that we both agree is so vitally important?
Well, I think one of the things that modern technology gives us is anonymity. You hide behind the computer or you hide behind the phone, and people lack confidence to speak in public, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's to an assembled audience. And one of the things you can do is you can join organisations. TEDx does a brilliant job. Toastmasters does a great job in getting people the confidence to speak. Everybody has something to say. I always say that Toastmasters, in my instance, gives people the means to say it. And if you have confidence, then you can speak. It's the lack of confidence that holds people back.
I couldn't agree more, because when you've got the confidence to stand up and speak in front of a group of people, then you really have the confidence to do anything else you want to do in life, whether you want to start a business, whether you want to just be able to communicate clearly, get a job. It gives you all of that. So if someone was looking to join Toastmasters to get some of that confidence, what would they do? How would they go about it?
Well, they could go into the Toastmasters website, which is Toastmasters International. And if you go into that on email, it tells you where nearest clubs are. But I'd say the best way is, as you know and I know, there are lots of Toastmaster members in the community. Go to your phone book or go to your directory, and you can ring up a local club, and they'll invite you to come along as a guest. And go along and see if it's for you. And remember, maybe the first club you go to might not be the one that particularly meets your needs. Visit two or three in your area and just listen, see if it suits you. And if it does, you'll be welcomed in and the process begins. But it's like everything in life. The opportunity's there, but you have to take it. It won't jump out and grab you. You've got to go and chase it.
And it all does start with our first step, doesn't it? We can have, it's like what that saying is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink. We can show you all the clubs around. And I would say if you just put into Google Toastmasters Club and your area, you would find a great lot of clubs there. But it takes that first step to actually go there and open yourself to the opportunities that come your way, which is what you did. And look where you are now.
Exactly.
Are there any stories? I mean, you, as an international president, you do get to travel quite a bit around the world because you get to go and visit conferences and clubs. Is that right?
Correct.
And so would you like to share maybe some of the stories that you've had? What countries have you visited? Any stories you'd like to share?
Well, I've recently just come back from Spain, and that was very interesting. Membership in Spain is growing enormously, and in Europe. And it was wonderful to see so many different nationalities who speak so many different languages but have a common purpose. And most of them speak very good English, and most of the meetings are conducted in English. But it's just great to see how that develops. I can remember going to the Philippines last year and to see the enthusiasm of people to become Toastmasters, not just because they want to become good Toastmasters, because they want to become better people and reach their potential. And that's the big thing about Toastmasters. We're not here to make public speakers, though we can definitely assist, but we're here to give everybody a voice so they can become better members of the community. And traveling around the world, it's wonderful. I've got a network of friends worldwide that I would never have had if I hadn't joined Toastmasters. I get to experience different cultures. All of those things helps me in my business and in my relationship with people wherever I go. And it gives me a confidence to be able to talk to them, listen to them, exchange ideas, network, if you like. It provides you with a huge network in the global scale.
And there's not many organisations that do that at a very reasonable cost, because you don't have to be just the international president to do that, do you? As a member of Toastmasters, you can travel. Whenever you travel, go to any Toastmasters club, can't you?
That's exactly right. And the wonderful thing about it is, whilst every club has slight differences in the way they fulfil the program, Toastmasters worldwide seem to have the same ambitions. They're friendly, gregarious people, and they're very, very supportive. And it's a lot of fun. I mean, a lot of people think public speaking and fun doesn't necessarily go together. But in fact, in Toastmasters, we go out of our way to make it enjoyable.
I think that was the part that I loved most when I joined Toastmasters, because it was just to meet people. Actually, I never joined to learn how to speak, and not everybody does. And that was the part that probably made me stay, because the club was fun and it was enjoyable. And when you do that, you can really get into something. What are some of the lessons that you've learnt over the years? Any lessons, insights you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, there's probably two or three, Trish. I think the first one is when you run for office or you compete, many people think if you don't win, you've failed. In fact, that's nothing could be further from the truth. I've learned more from failing than I think I learn from winning. So failing is don't try because you're scared they may fail. And I'd say the first lesson I learnt is failing is a great educational process. The second one is never say no to an opportunity when it comes. But if you say yes, then you better say yes with commitment. Don't just say yes because you think it's the right thing to say, because you only get out of anything you get involved in what you are prepared to put into it. And the third thing is, I think that opportunity comes to those not who necessarily know how to do something at the time opportunity comes, but comes to people who are in the right frame of mind to learn on the job. And one of the big things I learned from Toastmasters is they don't want you to know how to do everything before they invite you to do it. They invite you to do it when they think you are at that stage of your development where getting you to do the job is a great learning opportunity. We're great believers in learning on the job because nothing beats experience.
And experience to me is probably one of the best things. I know there's a lot of people sometimes, some of the young kids that come out of school and that, and or even some of the organisations, and they look at people who've got experience versus that piece of paper. And while some having, sometimes having a bit of paper is good, it's really putting what you've learnt into your experience and working it that's going to really count, I believe, with people getting new jobs and with getting on in life. You've got to take what you've learnt, use it, work it, add some experience and move on. And I think Toastmasters gives you an opportunity to do that. That's an easy area for them to try and do. So
yeah, and it's a
that,
safe place.
Sorry, Trish.
Yeah, it's a safe place to fail. When you're in Toastmasters in the club, you can come and practice and fail as many times as you like, because the members there are friends and supportive, so that when you finally get it right, you can take it out knowing that you can do it right into your career or into your community. So the club is a safe environment to practice until you get it right.
And for me, I would say it's one of the biggest things about the Toastmasters, because there's not many places where you can go and feel safe while you're trialing something. Because if you try and do that on the job, if you're in a job, there's a lot riding on it and it's very stressful. So that is a big plus for that organisation. We just talked a little bit about...
Sorry, Trish, go on.
No, go.
I was going to say, and it's wonderful, you made a very interesting point in your opening address, that people see speakers on the stage and say, I want to be like them. How many times in your experience at Toastmasters, Trish, did you see people come to the club and see accomplished Toastmasters deliver a program or a speech and say, I could never be as good as them? But they never saw those people when they first came to the club and didn't know how to speak. It's an evolving process. So don't judge speakers on a stage who might be very proficient and say, I'm not as good as them. You needed to see those people when they first started. And the great thing I like about Toastmasters is for those of us that have been in it for a long while, we've had the pleasure of seeing people grow and develop and become so accomplished at what they do. Yet we remember when they first got up on stage, they probably couldn't string two words together.
Absolutely. It's one of those myths that are out there sometimes about speakers, that great speakers are born, but they're not, they're made. You might have some inherent talents, but as you've said, all those speakers you think are doing it so easy on there, they've put years in practice. They've learnt just like you can learn. Everybody can learn to speak. It's just getting the techniques and the strategies and having mentors and associations and organisations like Toastmasters that let you practice those strategies without any fear of failure and stress. Just before we go any further, we might just take a quick break. Mike, I'll be back with you shortly. Just want to remind people that you are listening to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. We've been speaking to the current International President of Toastmasters International, Mike Storkey. And if you have a question or you want to listen in, you can do so. Just give us a call if you're in North America on 646-716-7979. If you're outside North America, you can follow the links at tobtr.com/9755003 and put your question in the chat box. Or, of course, you can pass your questions on PM me in Facebook and I will pass your questions on to Mike Storkey. We've been talking to Mike about his journey from a business entrepreneur in Queensland, Australia, his journey through that wonderful global organization, Toastmasters International, which is a global education organization, how he's progressed through that organization to become the current international president of Toastmasters International, who are in 100 countries with 350,000 members. Now, Mike, one of the things we haven't touched on is that Toastmasters International is actually a volunteer organization, isn't it?
That's correct. We actually
and
have
as a volunteer organization, it has some unique unique situations. I'm thinking you've got 350,000 plus members, but they're all volunteers. What's it like trying to be international, you know, being international president of a huge volunteer organization and trying to get everybody to go in the same direction?
Well, it's not always easy because you're dealing with different cultures, different nationalities, different languages. But basically, we have a world headquarters staff who are paid staff of 155, and we're based currently in California. But all the leadership of the organization, the running of the clubs, the running of the districts, is done by volunteers. And the wonderful thing about that is that people who take on the job, generally speaking, are committed. And because they're committed, they do it because of the passion that they have. And if we have leaders with passion, then that motivates and inspires others. If you have people who are doing it just because it's a paid job, not always, of course, there are some very good paid employees. But if everybody was just a paid employee and doing it as a job, not everyone has the passion for the job they're in. People in Toastmasters generally have the passion for what they're doing. And as I mentioned earlier, Trish, you were a district director, district governor when we were there. And you did it because you had a passion. Your team had a passion. And that's what inspired the district to grow. And that's what's so wonderful about volunteers. They're doing it because they want to, not because they're paid to.
And I think that's something we forget. Volunteers do. They do it because they want to, not because they're going to be paid to. But sometimes when we have all these volunteers, not only in Toastmasters International, but in a lot of charity organisations and a lot of things that get done in this world get done by volunteers, we don't always acknowledge them, do we? They don't always get acknowledged.
No, we don't. And it's a shame because even in affluent countries, most of the community work is done by volunteers. I mean, I can think of other organisations such as Rotary, Zonta. Nearly every hospital has volunteers that support it. I mean, it's endless. And I don't think we acknowledge the great work volunteers do in our society.
I just can't agree more, because sometimes if you stop and think, when you just sort of said that, Rotary, Zonta, I think the thing that really got me was hospitals, and that what would it be like if we didn't have the volunteers? I wonder how could we get things going if we didn't have those volunteers?
Yeah, I don't think it's a pleasant thought.
I'm sitting here thinking it and thinking, listeners, I challenge you to just stop and think, how many things in your life, how many things that you do, how many things that get supplied to you, how many of those are done through a volunteer aspect or volunteer organisation? I'll leave that challenge for our listeners, Mike, but I think when people start to think about it and write it down, they're going to be rather surprised just how much gets done. And just think about it. If all the volunteers decided they'd had enough one day and stopped volunteering, I wonder where our society and our work might be. That's a scary thought. Actually, I'm probably scared myself completely with that thought now. But it'll be interesting to see if I get any comments back on what people have done when they stopped and thought about it. That brings me, actually, because we're talking about passion, and there has to be a passion that motivates and gets people to volunteer. So what motivates you? What is it that sort of gets you up every morning and the passion and keeps that passion going?
Well, I'm a person who gets bored very easily. So I like continual challenge. When I talk about challenge, I like to develop new skills. I like to experience new experiences. I don't like doing the same old, day in, day out. But the one of the things I love about being in Toastmasters is seeing the development in others. Being able to see someone who comes into an organization and is petrified of speaking, or has a speaking disability, or doesn't have the confidence, and to see that develop in that person and then suddenly see what that person develops into and their self-worth grow as they believe, as they find out that, hey, I can do this, and yes, I am capable of a lot more. It's really getting people to reach their potential. And that, to me, makes me want to wake up in the morning and see those mentoring people, encouraging others to take on leadership roles, even when they don't think they can do them. That's the kind of thing that gets me going. And that's what keeps my passion going for being in the organization. I mean, I can't think of a world without Toastmasters, just as many Rotarians can't think of a world without Rotary. Whatever your passion is, follow it.
Follow your passion. I think those are excellent words that anybody listening can take on board, because if you don't follow your passion, then you probably stagnate, because I do agree with you. I like new things. I think staying in one place and not expanding is leaves it open to stagnation and not growing, and you become extremely complacent. I think you have to move forward to grow. What is, would you like to share with a couple of people, who inspires you? Who is there, a leader, a person, someone that inspires you that you've taken on as a mentor that you follow, not necessarily an actual mentor, but someone that you like to follow and has got you where you want to go?
Well, I think when I was a young fellow, I was very impressed with Winston Churchill, who probably has some of the most celebrated failures attached to him, but never gave up, tried so many various things, and then when a situation came where he was really needed, stood up and really showed leadership qualities. And I think he got those from failing so many times, but never being afraid to get back up. So he inspires me. Martin Luther King inspires me. His speeches, his dedication, his passion. And I suppose if I was looking at a lady who really inspired me, the Iron Lady from British politics inspired me as someone who had a very strong resolve, saw what she saw as her duty and did it, even though many decried her. But there are many people who inspire. You've only got to look around, and there are so many people who are dedicated, who are not doing it for what's in it for me or look at me. But the book that had the biggest impact on me, Trish, is the book A Leader Without a Title. And that book really got to me.
And who's that by?
I knew you were going to ask that, and it's just gone out of my mind for the moment.
Because I love the title, Leader Without a Title. I think that is something
It is such a good book.
What was it in the book
he talks about people who take on roles, not because of the title, but because they see something that needs doing in a leadership vein, and feel that it's their responsibility to take it on. And they become far better leaders than leaders who want all the glory in the title, but really are not doing it for the right reason.
I think that's a book that many of us could be reading and getting a lot from. And listeners, we'll find out the title for you, the author, and have that in the links when we put the replays up for you to be able to find. But I'm sure that if you actually Googled Leader Without a Title, you will find it out there. and I'd be interested to hear from you what you thought of the book. Sounds like an interesting one to do.
Trish, I've just remembered the author. It's Robin Sharma. Robin Sharma.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll see. There's a recommendation for you, listeners. Have a look at it, read it, and see what you can get out of that. So we've looked at our speak Toastmasters, and we've talked about what you have seen in Toastmasters and the lessons that you've looked at and the motivation. We've talked a bit about commitment, and I think you sort of have mentioned a little bit about commitment as something that you value highly. Why is it important to you, commitment?
Too many people don't know how to say no. They say yes because they feel it's expected. They say yes because they think they want to do something without having thought it through. Really, you should not say yes to taking on a role, to agreeing to do something, in joining a group, unless you are committed to do that. Because if you take on a role, for instance, and you say, yes, I'll do that, and you don't do it, one, you let your fellow members in your organisation, your company, your community down, and two, you deny someone else the opportunity from having done that job. So for me, commitment is such an important personal, if you like, ethic that you should have. If you can't do it, say no because you have a valid reason. But if you can do it, say yes and be committed to doing the best possible job you can do.
Absolutely agree, because I've seen this happen so many times that you do hear all those things out there that say, oh, look, say yes and then find out how to do it and do it. Now, I don't have a problem with that, but I have to agree with you. If you do say yes, at least make sure that you've got the commitment to find out how you're going to do it and a commitment to finish what you're doing it. And I've seen many who say yes and then things just peter out, and it's an opportunity lost for someone else. So absolutely endorse you on that value. It's a great value to have, Mike. It's one that if you live by that, you will get a long way in life and in success. So I know that your role finishes as international president August this year. What happens after that? Do you go on to your immediate past president? What do you do with that?
You become the immediate past international president. As such, you are responsible for the strategic planning of the organisation, putting together or ensuring the current strategic plan is implemented fully. You also still go around as an ambassador for the organisation. You're still on the board, and you chair the committee of past international presidents, who is, if you like, a think tank available for the current leadership of the organisation to do whatever we ask them to do and provide us with some research and background into things we may be considering doing. So it's still a pretty busy job.
Busy job. So let's have a look at the August. We do the immediate past, and absolutely the brilliant job there, as I know, as you're doing a brilliant job as international president. What would life be like? What are we looking at in, say, 2 years' time when the full-on commitment that you've got has dropped off a bit? What's life going to be like for Mike Storkey?
Well, I'm going to get back to doing what I love doing, which is facilitation and training and public speaking with corporations, companies, etc. I have resigned and retired from my real estate life. Because it was not possible to do fulfill my leadership role in Toastmasters and give my customers and my clients the service they would deserve. So I've finished that career, but I still want to do facilitation and training, which I have a passion for. And I still like to travel. Leslie and I love to visit new places, and Toastmasters is probably whetted our appetite even more. So I see a lot to do But I'm also going to enjoy getting back to my clubs in Toastmasters and being the most important thing that anybody in Toastmasters can be, and that is a member, and having all the fun of being a practicing member of Toastmasters.
And it sounds funny, I know, but it is something that you miss when you take on some of these leadership roles, because you do miss being a member. People come up to you, they've got questions and that, or you can't just relax and be doing part of that. So it's a good goal to have in place. I know when I was doing the leadership roles and that, and I got through, being a member the last few years has been really good, just being a member and enjoying and watching other people. Absolutely fantastic.
It's fun. And Trish, as you know, you can help others from your experience. And, you know, that's what Toastmasters is all about. We all help each other in one way or another, from the youngest member in a club to the oldest member in a club. Everyone has something to contribute.
And that's something people forget, don't they? They come into clubs as new members, and they often ask to give some feedback to longer-term members, and they get worried. They don't realise that everybody has that to contribute. Everybody's got a unique viewpoint, a fresh eyes, and that's what's the big value of new members, I believe, is the fresh eyes that come in and see, oh, things that you may not have realised and other people may not have realised.
Yeah, that's right. Everybody contributes.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask you, because I love travelling too, and can you just share with us maybe your top two countries that you've enjoyed visiting, either with Toastmasters or with just what you've been doing, your own travelling? Which are the two countries that you like to go to, you would recommend? Probably a hard choice.
Well, I must admit that I adored the Philippines. And the reason I adored the Philippines is the people. They are so friendly, they are so warm, they are so giving. It's not a fabulously wealthy country by any means, but it is just their love of song. I'll tell you a little story. Leslie and I had two bodyguards while we were there, because sometimes in certain places it can be a little bit lawless. And we went to buy one of our bodyguards' sons had a birthday, and he was busy guarding us and couldn't get back to the birthday for his son. So we bought the son a present. We went to a department store, went up to the fifth floor. First thing that we noticed was there were five people to service. But this guy in the middle of the room just broke into song, because that's what they do in the Philippines. I was just blown away with how happy they are, how friendly. So it's a wonderful place. Singapore is another place that I love. I lived there for 3 years when I was a young fella. But going back to Singapore, it's so dynamic, it's so diverse, and to see so many cultures get together. And if you like eating, I can't think of a better place to go, because every taste is catered for. But to pick out one or two is very difficult. Every country has something to recommend it. Every country has something that is unique. And I just enjoy finding out what that unique thing is in each country I go to.
I have to go with you on that. I love travelling myself. And I think it's something that everybody in Australia should try and do. We've got a great country here and I love it. I think it's one of the best countries in the world. But it is a little bit further away from a lot of other countries. And we can become, I think, sometimes a little bit isolated. And my recommendation to everybody, and I'm sure you would endorse that, is to get out there and travel, because the diversity and the things you've mentioned, like Philippines and the friendly people and the singing and Singapore and the cuisine, and every country has something unique. And each time you travel, you take something from that country and you bring it back, it becomes part of you and adds to your expertise and what you can share back here in our own country. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. I think travel is one of the best educators in the world.
Okay. So we're getting to the end of our talk. We could sit here and talk about Toastmasters for a long time, I know, because I absolutely adore the organisation myself, and it is so passionate. There's so much part of it. We could talk an awful lot about commitment and the travel and self-development and doing everything that you can to not give up and go forward. But my final question to you is, and it's one I ask all my guests, and it'll be a very easy one for you, I would think, is what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
I think great speakers are ones who can empathise with their audience. They're not talking necessarily just about what interests them, but they have that ability to research and find out who their audience is, or to gauge the feeling of the audience, and are able to connect. And I think one of the great lessons I've learned is to people love to hear personal stories. And if you can, when you're talking or giving a presentation, if you can involve some personal story in your presentation, it connects. People connect with that. And I think that's very important. The other thing is, I think you need to, some people waffle on and on and on. And really, you've got to consider the audience. They're giving you their time. You have to respect your audience. And I think that's the big thing. Good speakers respect their audience, speak with passion, and tell personal stories.
Thank you for sharing those insights. I absolutely agree with each and every one of those, especially respect. I'm really big on respecting your audience and respecting time, because you can lose your audience so quickly if you just waffle and go over your time. In addition to that, could you just share a couple of speakers that you think are, who you think are good speakers? Is anybody that you can think of that has actually got onto your nose and said, oh, yes, I like them, they're a great speaker, good one to model?
Well, I must admit, I'm very impressed every time I hear outgoing President Obama speak, because I think he connects with his audience. He might not always say what everybody wants to hear, but I think he's very eloquent, speaks to an audience at their level, doesn't speak above their level, and he shows respect for the audience. And I'm also quite impressed with one of the Toastmasters that I've heard, which is with Mark, our international speaker who won the world championship. For those of your listeners who don't know, Mark is in a wheelchair and paraplegic. He can motivate me and move me to the English language and the way he can use words to paint word pictures. And I'm just absolutely enamoured of the way he speaks.
Oh, I agree. I know Mark Hunter very well. And, anybody who wants to hear why Mike's talking about that should listen. He's a past international speech winner from Toastmasters International Conference. So if you Google, you'll get to see his speech that he did for that. He has a wonderful way with words. He can bring up the most beautiful words. He's a what you would call a wordsmith, I think. He can bring those words together and then present them. So thank you for sharing those two people. Have a look, people. The person who inspires you is the speaker. Everybody's got different things that speakers resonate with. So you may not always agree with people who say, oh, that's a great speaker, but you go and look at them and see how they speak and the techniques they use. And then find the ones that you resonate with you. Don't be them, but you can certainly model them. Mike, I've absolutely enjoyed speaking with you today. Our time is coming to an end. Where can people find out more about Toastmasters or Mike Storkey?
Well, I have a website which is Storkey's Team, and if people look that up, it's a website about Storkey's Team, and you can find out more about Storkey's Team, or if you want to contact me, if you go into the Toastmasters website, it's got bios and things and contact details. So happy to talk to anybody. It's communications that makes the world go round, so I'm always happy to talk to anybody.
Absolutely, and just Google Toastmasters International, you'll certainly find out where you can go to there, and Google Toastmasters clubs in your area, and you'll certainly find one there. Thank you, Mike. I've enjoyed speaking with you and love to have you back again another time. All the best in the rest of your year, and following that as the immediate past Christmas, and I'll catch up with you in the clubs again soon, I'm sure.
Thank you, Trish, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you. Okay, people, before we leave, as you all know, I finish with a quote, and it wouldn't be today's show unless my quotes came from Ralph Smedley. So I had a look at some quotes from Ralph Smedley. As you heard, Ralph Smedley was the founder of Toastmasters International about 94 years ago, so a fair well. Well, it won't be too long until we have a 100-year celebration. That'll be brilliant. But the quotes, these are the ones, there's three of them, and these are the ones that I really loved and resonated from my reading about Ralph and listening to him. And the one that absolutely grabs me is, we learn best in moments of enjoyment, which I take enjoyment to be fun. And Mike actually touched on that in our conversation today. And that's what Toastmasters clubs do, give you fun. And we do. People, you think back to the best times you learnt, the ones that stayed with you, the ones that you learnt while you were having some fun as well. The other ones that I like is, ours is the only organisation I know dedicated to the individual. We work together to bring out the best in each of us, and then we apply those skills to help others. And again, that's something Mike touched on. Everybody in a Toastmasters club has a contribution to make, and everybody is helping everybody else. And it is an organization about the individual. And the last one I have is, there are no absolutes in public speaking. Now, that really resonated with me, because it means public speaking is open to all. There's no right, wrong, or wrong way as per se. I mean, there are ways to be a better speaker. There are ways to be an awesome speaker. There are ways to be a professional speaker and make loads of money. But there are no absolutes. Everybody can get up and speak at every level that they want to do. They can get up and speak and share their message. So I think there are no absolutes in public speaking is a brilliant quote to think about. You've been listening with Step Up and Speak Out with Trish Springsteen, with our great guest, Mike Storkey, International President of Toastmasters International. Join me again on my next show. And if you have any questions that you would like me to give you the answers to, get in touch with me at info@trishell.com.au. That's info@trishell. Connect with me on Facebook. You can go to Trishell Innovative Communication Training. My website is trishspringsteen.com. You can connect there to book me to speak, or if you'd like to have a 15-minute discovery session. Have an awesome time till we meet again, and may it all be what you want to do. May it be achieving what you want to do, and may your commitment be the commitment that you want to give.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.